I think if we can all get recuperated from all the sickness that's been going around lately, I'm starting to catch a tad of it myself, but my wife had some water in her bag, and I think that's going to help me out. What do you think about this idea of God being the potter and us being the clay? Well, I absolutely love the way that God communicates to us. It makes me feel special that God would try to explain something in such a way that I could understand it. Kind of makes me feel like a young child that a parent would get down on their knees for and kind of get eye to eye to try to understand, you know, for the understanding purpose. I feel like God loves us all and He cherishes us and He would do anything to help us to understand what He's talking about. And I might add that it'd be a good note of thanksgiving to thank God for the way that He communicates to us. Let me start by asking you a question about this idea of God being the potter and us being the clay. Why did God not just say, where they sat down. I've been working on that all week. I hope that was just my gig to get y'all to sit back and calm down a little bit. And say, okay. Why did God not make us the two-befores and Him the carpenter? Why did God not make us the I-beams or angle irons and Him the iron worker? Why were we not the ingredients and He was the baker? Well, I want to assure you that there's a very definite answer for that this morning, and we'll come back to that question as we wrap up today's lesson. One of the ways God helps us to understand things is by making a comparison, drawing an analogy. We use the word allegory. God makes comparisons so that we can wrap our mind around an idea, so that we can relate to what He's talking about, so that we can make connections. In the New Testament, Jesus uses parables. And part of the reason for that is so that we can grab an understanding, make a comparison in our mind, and throughout the Scripture, He uses different imagery to do the same thing. Potter and the clay is one of them. He uses the church as the bride of Christ, and He makes the marriage correlation. And He makes a number of others also, including God to be the Father and us to be the children. But the first thing that a potter does in regards to clay is, you know that a potter makes his own clay? Now, I've had my share of trying to make clay in the mud pile outside when I was a kid, you know. I have pictures to prove that. It was a sloppy thing, but a real potter makes his own clay. Why would a potter need to make his own clay? Natural clay that you get out in the fields very seldom is a good blend for using it for pottery. It'll have too much sand in it. It'll have too much silt in it. Have too much silica. It'll have any number of those things. It's not, if a potter is going to go to the work to make a pot, he wants to make sure and use good clay. A clay that can stand up to shaping and molding. A clay that can be fired without cracking. So the potter takes his base clay and he begins to blend these different ingredients in. And he begins to mix them up with his hands. And he feels the texture of the clay. Stretches it out a bit to feel the elasticity. He looks at that blend. Well, church, I want to tell you this morning that we are God's clay. And our blend is just as important as a clay for a potter, okay? Our blend might include little bits of love, humility, respect, joy, fruits of the labor. There are a lot of different things like that that make up each and every person here. God has given each one of us everything we need to become a great piece of pottery or a great vessel, okay? Now, some of us have said, and I've heard people say, you know, I'll never be a real loving person. Had problems in my childhood. You know what? We can make excuses all day long. But the fact is, the heavenly potter has given each one of us everything we need. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says that God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. In other words, all of us, we have every component to be a healthy Christian at our disposal. God has given us, each and every one of us, the ingredients that we need to be who He has designed us to be. But are we open to the blending process? Will we allow Him to take away some things that shouldn't be in our life? Would we allow God to take away some hurt? Would we allow Him to put in a little joy? Would we allow Him to give a little forgiveness? Would we allow Him to take away a little bitterness? Or have we bowed up and said, you know what? I am who I am, and that's what I'm going to be. I've reached this point in my life, and I'm just fine just the way I am. I'm too old. It's too late for change. I see people smiling on that. I'm not going to point you out, but that's interesting. There are people who remain shapeless because they resist God's blending process. Church, I want you to know that you are created for shape. You are not designed by our Heavenly Father to be a shapeless vessel. You are designed for shape, and it's God who gives that. God did not just stumble onto you out into a field somewhere and say, oh, this is a nice piece of clay. I think I'll try to use this somewhere. That's not the way it happened. You were fearfully and wonderfully made, as the psalmist says in 139 verse 14. You were created in His image. God knew you, and He had you in mind. The next thing is that the potter has plans. Now, I want you to appreciate this slide I have up there, because I looked for about 3 hours for a picture of a pot that had some scales drawn on there to try to illustrate the fact that God had a plan in your life. He has a plan in your life. You're not just chicken surprise, okay? Now, I know that back when I took pottery in the high school for, you know, a few days, how many ever days you have to take it to get through, I started off, I had no plan. I just started squishing and squeezing and forming and fashioning, but God's not that away. God has a plan in your life. You are created with a plan. Much like, what if we were to make a quilt? Now, I don't know about you, but if we didn't have a plan, it probably wouldn't turn out too good. What if we was to make a dress? Oh, I've seen what happens when you don't have a plan and you try to make a dress. I ain't mentioning no name, Charity. Not going to do it. She's whispering something about she'll get me later. I don't know. What if we were to make the Eiffel Tower without a plan? Or the Titanic or some great building? Is a plan really necessary? I want you to answer that for yourselves. Have you ever helped someone move that did not have a plan? Now, I figured I might get that. Let me explain this out real thoroughly, just in case anybody needs to know this, you know. You know how it is, you show up, a time has the only thing been planned for, you know. You show up, there's no boxes. There's not a thing been packed. There's not even a truck. You know, and then as the day grows on, the person that's moving's all weary because things are just not going right. And then when their furniture gets banged up, you know, and they're a little bit upset about that, and they say, well, what's this all about? Well, hello, might have needed a plan, you know. We've all been there. Some of you are laughing. You see, great things do not just happen. They are planned for, aren't they? time is spent thinking about what's needed. The end result is thought of. The quality is thought about. And how to get from point A to point B is planned out. Folks, let there be no mistake. God has planned for each and every person here. I look out across this auditorium and I see all of your wonderful faces. And each one of you represent a plan of God. His plan includes work, Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which He appointed in advance that we should walk in them. God created us with a plan for work. And He knows each and every one of us individually. You know when you think you're alone and nobody's watching? You know that God's there and He knows you. He knows your hearts. He knows your motives. He knows everything about you. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. You know, we know the New Testament says that. But Acts 17 verse 26 says that He even knows the time in which you will live here and the place that you're going to live. You know, some people spend an entire lifetime saying, well, where should I live? What should I do? Who should I be? Asking all these things about God's plan. And sometimes we spend so much time looking around trying to figure this out that we just don't open our eyes and live where God has placed us. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And it is God who hovers over the potter's wheel, and you are on the potter's wheel, and He is molding you. What's great is that He gives each one of us different kinds of work. And I'm glad because, you know, I like to do different things. Romans chapter 9 and verse 21 says, or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make some from the same lump, one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? Maybe your plan to be a Bible school teacher. Maybe your plan to be a deacon. Maybe your plan is that you're really good with art and you do good bulletin board work. Maybe your plan might be making the bread for the communion. Maybe your plan might be that you're a good encourager. Maybe your plan might be that you're really good at communicating the gospel. What's your plan? We need to get to know our plan because God has a plan for each and every one of us. Wherever God has placed us, we know that we are part of the body, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're all equally important and we're a part of His work and His will. But we are not created to sit on a cosmic whatnot shelf somewhere as a victim of happenstance. And you know, sometimes I think that we get the idea that we're just created and we're going to have to just make do the best we can, you know, with our circumstances and our situations, and we're just going to end up as being some tinker toy on a whatnot shelf. And I want to assure you, church, that that is not true. We are destined for greatness, not because of anything we've done, but because of who we are. We are children of the living God, shaped and formed and fashioned after His plan. Destined to be great because we were made at the hand of our Heavenly Father. Next thing is, God molds the clay. Have you ever molded, how many people's molded clay on a wheel? A few of us. Man, it can get really nasty, can't it? If you let your kids do this, just take them to car wash, you know those little clips up there, you know? Stick their hands up there and just hose them down. It's not easy to work clay on a potter's wheel. It takes a lot of concentration, a lot of focus, a lot of attentiveness to the texture of the material, keeping it wet. But here is the idea, and I hope this picture works. Can you see that picture? Here's the idea that God molds us on His will. And I want to think for a moment about us being moldable. I want to talk about us being moldable. The potter has to make continual adjustments to the clay to keep it moldable. It's forever drying out, and you got to add a little bit of water. Sometimes you got to sprinkle a little bit of something, I forgot what was the name of, on it to keep it the plasticity level, to keep it workable, okay? You have to keep adjusting these things as you go along. It's just not the clay is just ready to go, use it and go on down the road. There's continual adjustments that need to be made. And, you know, sometimes I think that even, you know, I get the idea that God's done what He's going to do with me and I'll just go on with what I got. But no, it's a continual process of molding and shaping, adding water and such. God also needs to make adjustments in our lives. As He shapes and fashions us, He needs to pull us apart. He needs to put in a little patience here. He needs to add a little mercy here. He needs to bend us, get us to flex a little bit. But sometimes there's a problem with that. Sometimes we are resistant to change. We just don't like to change. You know the attitude. God's done everything He can do with me, and I like my lumps just the way they are. You know? Isn't that about the way it goes sometimes? But you know what? When we have that type of attitude, God finds on His potter's wheel something equivalent to a cement block. Now, how would you like to try to work a cement block on the potter's wheel? Well, that's impossible, right? Why? Because it's hardened. It's not open to change. It's not moldable. And folks, you know what? Sometimes we're not moldable. We don't like being wet and sloppy. We don't like stretching ourselves. We get so complacent that we enjoy our circumstances just the way they are. And you know what God says? That's not what I created you for. I created you for shaping. I created you so that you would allow me to mold your life. And so I ask myself, am I open to being molded by the Lord? We are God's clay, and He alone has the right to mold us. But sometimes we like to do the shaping ourselves, don't we? Isaiah 29 verse 16 says, "Shall the potter be considered as equal with the clay, that what is made would say to its maker, 'He did not make me,' or what is formed say to him who formed it, 'He has no understanding.'" In other words, excuse me, potter, you got the wrong shape here. I'm more along the lines of a flower vase, not a big pot. Do we do that sometimes to the Lord? Do we try to mold the Lord into our thinking instead of let Him mold us? I do, I know. Or just as bad, oh, you might like this one. Sometimes we let other people mold us. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed," that is molded, "to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect." Are we being transformed? Are we conforming to the ways of the world? Or are we allowing God to mold us? It's a question that we have to ask ourselves. Because we are not our own. We belong to God. And it's really easy to allow other people to mold us instead of God. We really have to be attentive to this. If the potter becomes displeased, though, he has the right, and he does, break us down. As you're shaping a pot up, I know the one thing that happened to me in the past, you get it up there and the whole thing just kind of, it was that wheel is turning, it just kind of folds. You know, you got it too thin or something, it just messes up. And you know what you do? You squish it down and you start over, right? Well, God does that too. Jeremiah chapter 18 verses 1 through 4 says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will announce my word to you." Then I went to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. Listen to this, though. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter, so he remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make. I think anyone that's been a Christian for any length of time, once in a while, you just kind of you lose touch and you get off the path and God beats you down and starts over with you. You ever been there? Have you ever reached a point in your life where God just said, "You know what? You're too far out of alignment. You're too far away from the plan that I created," and He just squishes you down. Oh, it hurts. I don't like to be all squished down into a big blob, even though I might look like one sometimes. I don't like to be squished down like that, but God sometimes says, "You know, you're too far off my plan. I'm going to start over." Then the potter fires the clay. When we get those areas in our life that God has got into shape, got them where He wants them, then He produces some firing of sorts, some strengthening for those areas. God puts us in the kiln of life, as it were. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4 says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, whenever you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." The trials of life produce endurance, and endurance carries us on to the Lord. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 10 says, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver," He says. "I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." You know, it's really easy to get discouraged and to look around and say, "You know what? Things are not just going the way that I think they ought to be going in my life. I have this hardship that's happening to me, and you know what? I wish God had just take it away. It's not good." And you know what God might be saying? "Hey, this might just be some firing to help you." When we go through hardships, how do we view them? Do we view them as opportunities, or do we sag our lips way down and say, "Woe is me"? Well, sometimes it's a different perception of how we're going to look at something. That's how Jesus said, "Who for the joy set before Him endured the cross." It was a perception of how He saw things. God produces firing in our life for strengthening. By these trials, He strengthens us. He tests us. We're kind of like tea bags, in that people are kind of like tea bags, in that you don't know what they're made of till you put them in hot water. God does that for us. He allows hot water to come our way, and it can destroy us or it can change us. It can help us to become more moldable. And finally, the potter inspects the vessel. The potter takes each piece of pottery and he looks it over. He's looking for mars and blemishes and cracks in particular. Now, there are some bad potters who will take a piece of pottery that they've come out of the kiln and that has a crack in it, and these are dishonest potters. You know what they'll do? They'll take wax and they'll rub it in that crack. Then they'll paint the vessel, and then they'll sell it to you as a brand new pot, right? No problems. The New Testament uses the word sincere to talk about a pot with no cracks. An insincere pot is a pot that has cracks that somebody's put wax over and painted over so you really can't see them. And you know, I'm really talking about people here. Have you gotten that idea yet? Sometimes we have cracks in our lives, and you know what we like to do with them? We like to put some wax on them, paint over them. You come in the door and I say, "How you doing?" "I'm doing great. I'm doing good. Having a good day." And inside you're dying and you're hurting. Haven't we done that? Don't we do that? I want to ask you this morning, what are you hiding in your life? Do you have a crack that you have glossed over? Are you trying to hide something? On the day of judgment, I want to remind you of something. Your cracks, no matter how good they're glossed over, will not escape the Master's eye. God will cast every insincere vessel into a scrap heap, out into outer darkness and into hell. If we continue to gloss over these things in our lives that are hurting us, if we continue to hide behind the facades that we wear out in public, that type of thing can lead us away from the throne of God, yet we do it without even thinking twice about it. May I suggest to you that as members of this church, as members of this body of Christians and believers and friends and loved ones, that we can share with each other? Isn't that right, church? Can we not go to each other with our difficulties and say, you know what, I'm struggling with something. Do you know that in my whole, all my years of preaching, you know how many people have come to me and confessed a sin in their life in private and said, I want you to hold me accountable, I want you to help me and work with me? Take a guess. 2. Does that tell you anything? That tells you that we're afraid to come to each other, doesn't it? We're afraid to go say, you know, I got a problem at 10 o'clock at night. I run down and I get drunk every night. Now, I'm just an example. I don't do this. But if I had that problem, could I not come to you and talk to you about it? Oh, you're more than willing to listen, aren't you? But why am I not more than willing to do that? Am I afraid to be moldable? Is that a hard lump of clay in my life that I'm not willing to give God? I think God calls me to think about those things, lest I end up in the scrap heap. So, by way of wrapping up, we posed a question at the beginning of the lesson. Why aren't we made as angle iron or two-by-fours or something strong? Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Church, God made us in weakness so that He would be glorified in His strength. Praise God, and we give glory to His name. But we have to trust Him. You know, as you're sitting on that potter's wheel and you're turning around in a circle, you can't always see what's going on. And you have to trust the potter. You don't know exactly what he's shaping you into, but you got to trust him. And you know, I think that this is the pivotal part of this lesson. Are you willing to give your trust to God? Are you willing to have him shape you without you knowing what shape you're going to end up in? Well, not me. I want to know what I'm going to be. Don't squeeze me into a full flower vase until you tell me you're going to squeeze me into a flower vase. And God says, I don't think so, buddy. You be sloppy and wet and moldable, and you let me have my way with you. Oh, God says, trust me. Give me your trust, and I will shape you and fashion you after my will. Because I know my plan for your life. Let me wrap up with a few questions that I would like each one of us to ask ourselves this morning. Have you been willing to let God blend your life? Do you understand that God has a plan in your life? And are you in tune with that? Have you found that? Have you been moldable, allowing God to shape you? Are you hiding behind something this morning? Are you ready for inspection? If you have something you need to share with us this morning, a joy or a heartache, if you need to put the Lord on in baptism, whatever your need, we'd ask you to come as we stand and sing.